There's one. Set for stun.
Three guys sitting in a dark room that smells like bad cucumbers.
Don't make me angry. You wouldn't like me when I'm angry.
Inconceivable!
Now featuring 11. 11 listeners.
This is me.
You slimy scumbag, get on your face and give me 25.
This is the Unique Geek.
And welcome to another edition of 50 Days of Dragon Con, the podcast that questions everything and needs proof. And joining me, as always, is the ever, 5 seconds behind everybody, Lee. Lee, how you doing?
Goldfish. I'm doing great. I am starting to get things in piles to take to con. That tells you how close we are. I just get to start thinking about everything I've got to do and everything I haven't done. But you know what? I'm still not panicking because you know why?
Why?
That train's a coming and I'm going to get on it. I can either get on the train or I can get run over by the train. And I just decided I'm getting on the train.
Well, you could let the train go by.
I could.
That would be awesome.
Then...
Has Dragon Con ever had a director just not show up?
Yes.
Oh.
Yes.
Well, never mind. I guess it wasn't awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it wasn't really. Or you've also had them there, but then MIA. So that was a long time ago, though. That was very early years. I used to think it was alien abductions. I was educated to the fact that no, it really wasn't alien abductions. It was just people being slack. And you know who told me that?
Who?
The guy that we're about to talk to in the skeptics track, Derek.
Hi.
Hi. Yes. Yeah. But yes, we to answer that question, Derek and I have both been around when a director has all of a sudden been MIA. So yeah, we're better now. All better now.
Yeah.
All better now.
What was that, 2006?
I know of one around 1997 and 1996, when I first started, actually coming to Con. So.
Oh, really? Yeah, because my very first Dragon Con would have been 94, I think.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Before I moved here. Long before I moved here. I ran a collectible card game magazine for a little while. And there's a really funny story about this too, which is probably not worthwhile for this. But
no,
anyway.
We like the story.
All right,
anyway, so back in '94, I owned a marketing and design company, and we did a lot of internet stuff because right when the internet was hitting, right, it was '94. I started it, so you know the web was kind of like just hitting. So most of our marketing for that was telling people how to use a mouse and what the internet was, and, even though I was on ARPANET since I was 8 years old, because my dad worked for Burroughs, so I had a terminal in my house connected to ARPANET since I was 8 years old. So me and the internet had been around for a while. So having graphics was the cool part in 93-ish. I remember the first time having a browser load a graphic was really cool. I remember the graphic it was too. It wasn't even that exciting either.
Doesn't matter. It was still a picture.
Oh, it was. It was like.
I know. Woo.
It was. It was like who? It was the symbol for the Mosaic, the browser back then.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I was like, oh well, look, it has a logo. I didn't know it had a logo. All I knew was the word. Anyway, so back in 94-5-ish, I had this company and. We also started because Magic the Gathering came out and it was a big hit. And so we started this magazine because I knew a bunch of artists that worked for Image and things. And I said, let's do this magazine. A bunch of us got together and we started it. And my first issue, we decided to have a contest to draw interest in the magazine. And for the prize for this contest was you could win the original piece of art for the cover. And I give away the artwork to the winner at Dragon Con. I'd never been to Dragon Con, but they offered this as a prize because I worked with some of the people here in Atlanta because, Magic the Gathering was from White Wolf, who was here in Atlanta, still are.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, that's how I ended up in Dragon Con the very first time. And it was a whirlwind. And when I came that year, it was only in one hotel. I think it was all in the Hyatt. I flew in to give me the award away. And when I got there here, I was like, oh, why did I ever come to this before? I should have come. And I had to leave that same day. I was like so depressed about it. I was like, I should have come.
I should have found a hotel, which at that point you could have.
Yeah. So, you know, a couple of years later in 96, I was in between Vegas and here. And I moved back with my parents for a little while because my company, we got robbed and we were a deadline based business. So we lost all of our computers and all of our work. And all we could do is wait for the insurance check. And by then we've lost all of our clients because, you know, they moved to other people because that's what they did. Because I didn't blame them, but, you know, we couldn't do anything. So back then I was, you know, on the younger side, you know, I was in my 20s, and I was like, you know what? I just need to get out of town because, you know, maybe Vegas kind of beat me down at that point. And I went back to where I grew up in high school and was there for a little while until the CDC just sent me a offer in the mail and said, you want to come to Atlanta? And I ended up in Atlanta. So
there you go.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So the very first time I was at Dragon Con was, you know, about 94, and I gave away this a cover to the magazine I started. And this past year at the Amazing Meeting in Las Vegas for the big skeptics conference, there's a bunch of people. It's like a, you know, like any conference, like Dragon Con, every year you get, it's like a reunion of all the people you get to see every year for like three or four days. Right. Mm-hmm. Well, for the past like 10 years that go to TAM, there's like one of the people I hang out with all the time is this girl called Celesta. And we just hang out all the time and we talk about everything. Well, we didn't talk about the fact about who her husband was. Her husband is the man who drew that comic book cover.
What?
Aww.
For my magazine. I had not talked to him since 95, maybe. Huh. And so talk about the world is being very, very small.
You know, the fandom world sometimes can be very, very small. It's kind of fun. It is.
If it was Dragon Con, I would be like, okay, that makes sense. But we're talking about the Skeptics conference, and we never talked about anything other than skeptic stuff. I didn't realize that her husband still worked, you know, for part time for the same company that he worked for when I was in Vegas doing, you know, illustrations and artwork. And I was like, I knew she was a graphic illustrator, but I didn't realize that's what she did. So I was like, talk about a small world. I mean, I've known her for like 9 years, all this time, and she's been like married to this guy who was like my best friend through college. How'd that happen?
Crazy.
There you go.
I love that stuff. So
that's crazy. So I was going to say something.
That guy.
Thing. So for folks that don't know, what is the Skeptic track? What does it cover?
Everything that everybody else thinks exists but doesn't really exist. No, really. The best way to put it is the skeptics movement is kind of like the cheerleaders for science. Most of the skeptics are not scientists. A lot of them are, but many of the skeptics are not actually scientists, but they are people who really know about science, and they communicate it to either the public or they make sure that science is in the forefront of especially the politicians or the media, or we're the ones in the office who, when people talk about some weird thing, or somebody saw a ghost on a movie yesterday, or something on the news said there's a ghost in this, you know, place, and you know, we're the people who tell, okay, look, that's probably not true, and it's probably a bug, and it usually is, and a week later they go, oh, look, it's a bug. But it's stuff like that. It's a funny word because people use it in much different ways. But scientific skepticism, which is what we call it, dates back to like the 1600s. One of the very first books I'm trying to track it down with other people, to find out if this is actually probably the first time I actually have ever been able to find it written down the way we use it in the for like the Skeptics track, or when you hear like Skeptic Magazine, who I work for. The scientific skepticism, the first time I've actually seen it was in the 1600s by Boyle, the same guy who has Boyle's Law about gas, how it expands. And he wrote a book called The Skeptical Chemist. And back then, that's when people still believed in the fire, air, water, earth. Mm-hmm. And he was one of the very first chemists who said, this is complete crap. And he was one of the very first people who kind of proved that there's things called atoms. Because before then, people didn't think that existed. They just thought fire, earth, water. You know, when I think about that, it's really, that was so recent. And you think that would be a lot further ago. It was the mid-1600s. But that's kind of what it is. It's the skeptics are the science cheerleaders or the science promoters. We also talk about things. We also got a very big foothold in consumer protection. Mm-hmm. James Randi was one of the first people who made a giant splash here in America on the Johnny Carson show for exposing the people who attempt to talk in the dead. And he showed many of those guys. Some of them are still drawing giant crowds these days, even though he's showed on national TV on the Johnny Carson show exactly how they do these things and have proof. The best one was the Peter Popoff one. Many people might remember this one, where they Randi had people tap the airwaves and found the actual radio signal where Peter Popoff's wife would get information for the people in the crowd when they were loading in. The people didn't know who she was, but she would talk to people and find out stuff about them. And then she would feed it to him through his earphone when he was on stage, and he looked like he was a miracle worker. But it was all just fed to him by his wife. And he tapped into the radio signal between his wife and him and played the stuff live on the air on the Johnny Carson show, like a couple of days after he just had Peter Popoff on the show. So that was, you know, a big deal. And that's where the skeptics really got a big breakout in America in the back in the, I think it was the early to mid 80s. And then Carl Sagan and his wife wrote Demon Haunted World, and that's a great book that really talks about it as well. But yeah, so the skeptics are not, yes, we doubt things, but we doubt things with a cautious eye. We don't just discount things. It's just, you have to give us some proof. If you think that you own a pink unicorn in your basement, we're not going to believe you until you show us something. Things like Bigfoot. Is it plausible? Yeah, but based on how the world works, how primates work, it was doubtful no matter how you slice it. So you need some evidence, please. That's what we need. A little bit, just a little bit.
Oh, come on.
And when they say we have some, here it comes. Oh, look, we have some Bigfoot hair. Cool. And then it's mainly made of the same resin that they have at costume shops at Pottery City. I'm sorry. There's that big TV show that was out, the Million Dollar Bigfoot Bounty show a couple of years ago or last year. Mm-hmm. Natalia Reagan was the host, not the host, she was the scientific advisor because she's a primatologist. And I interviewed her at the amazing meeting this past year. And it was a great interview because she talked about the problems there is with Bigfoot and how great apes work, with which we are as humans. We're all great apes. And she talked about how difficult it would be for something like Bigfoot to be around and us not to know. And she had talked about a bunch of stuff I didn't even know about how rare it is for the great apes to be able to walk upright. And when they do, how long they actually do. How we can do that because we have a mutation that allows our spines to be in the shape it is. But, you know, we can do that. Most of the other great apes can't. There's a couple who can, but they prefer, because it's more comfortable, to kind of grow to all fours now and then. But things like that. It's the skeptics are, like I said, science cheerleaders, and we also take on things like consumer awareness and weird and sketchy claims, UFOs, psychics, people who think they can talk the dead, or people who think that they have a pink unicorn in their closet, keeping a Sasquatch for a slave. I don't know.
What is a pink unicorn? What's the fast? Are there a lot of people with pink unicorns or claiming they have pink unicorns?
He does seem to like the pink unicorn, yeah.
Well, have you
it seems purple would be more popular. But
how many bronies do we have at Dragon Con? Come on, you've seen it.
That's true.
We do have a lot of bronies, which is very cool, because we do. Well, I kind of like the bronies. They're actually very, very energetic about their fandom.
Yeah.
But okay, so that's what the skeptic track is. What are you guys doing this year? I know Randy is coming, because we just talked to the parade person, and he's going to be in the parade, the great Randy.
He loves
it. So what else? Oh, awesome. Everybody loves the parade. We all love the parade. It's so much fun.
Oh, Randy is Randy loves Dragon Con, because he just thinks it's so cool to see how many people that are all completely different and how everybody gets along together. And he loves it. It's one of his favorite things every year. It's
awesome.
This year we have a few new people, which is kind of nice. Richard Carrier, if you know who that is. He is a writer. He is a historian. Well known for the fact that, you know, because he's a historian, he is a Bayesian logic historian, which is many historians are. But he is one of the ones who has delved into things like the biblical claims about, you know, is Jesus actually a historical figure or not? And he has books about that. He also talks about, you know, the history of things that are claims. Like he talks about the fact that Egypt has never once in its history ever had slaves, which is a problem for half the Bible.
Wait. That's accurate?
Yeah.
I mean, I you know, Bible aside, that's actually accurate? Then
yeah, never have. They actually paid all the people that worked on the pyramids.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, that is, I just learned something. The more I know.
The funny part is, and even though I've not been able to track on down if this is actually completely true or not, but nobody's been able to falsify it, but they paid the people who worked on the pyramids with this thing called cash. Go figure, right? Not cash, how we think. Cash was the name, what they called this version of beer they made, like the first beer, because Egypt kind of made beer, but they called it cash. And for all accounts I can find, that's why we call cash cash.
Huh.
Because that's what they used. That's what they called it when they got paid. They got paid with cash, which is kind of funny. But it's really funny because everybody accepts things like Exodus, but that can't happen if Egypt never had slaves.
That would be... Well, I mean, all the workers could have left. It could have been a strike.
Yeah, but that's not what they called. That's not the reason why they left. That's the problem. But yeah, that's like one of those things that they've done a bunch of verification on that, and there's just no evidence at all that they kept slaves. It just wasn't a thing. The Egyptians were one of the very first kind of capitalist kind of places, because you remember their entire society was based on wealth and objects and what they owned. So it would be a very odd thing for Egyptians to, you know, just enslave people like that. It just wasn't their thing. And so they get a bad rap because of the fact that so many people believe this one piece of mythos that they believe with their heart is real, but just can't possibly be true because they have actual evidence that's not right. That's Richard Carew. He'll be at Dragon Con. It's the first time he's ever come. So I love having new people at DragonCon because I always like to watch their face about after the first
day. That is one of the best things because you can see their eyes kind of like, really?
Yeah. And, it's never been a problem for me to get a guest to come back after they've been here once.
Oh, no.
Never. Never once.
They can't wait.
Unless they just can't make it because they always want to. You know, it's like I get an email like every year for the people I want back that can't make it. And they're always like, I really want to come. Maybe I'll just come for, a couple hours. It's like, it's fine. just swing by. I don't mind.
Come on, we're good.
Yeah. So there's that. And I also have this year having Johnny Montserrat that's coming. He was actually one of the very, very first people who created a MMO that we would call an MMO the way we see them now, like the 3D perspective, first person shooter looking MMO. He was the founder of Turbine Games.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he did Asheron's Call and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
He was a founder of that. He doesn't work there anymore because he sold the company to Microsoft. But he also is one of the right hands of the Secular Policy Institute. And so he's coming to do a couple talks, which one of them is really kind of cool. By the way, when I talked about about Richard Carrier, his talk is not going to be about anything to do with religion. He has this cool talk about the real tech during the steampunk style era and like some of the mm-hmm. really cool stuff that was actually real that you could actually dress as a steampunk person, but it would actually look like a fantasy thing, but it's actually real. Because being a historian, he thinks steampunk is really cool, but he thinks that a lot of people don't realize that about 50% of what they've built, which they thought is kind of like, fun, is a lot. Some of it was actually almost dead on. So he's going to talk about the real tech of that era and how close some of it is to what people think is just a fantasy style thing from steampunk. But some of it, he says, actually quite close to reality. So he's going to have a talk about that. I'm looking forward to that because I want to see some of that stuff because he has examples and things. So it'd be kind of cool. This year I have a bunch of, I tried to get Neil deGrasse Tyson because, who doesn't want him?
Oh, that would be huge, right? Yeah. Yeah. Right.
I know. But I wasn't able to get him. But what I did do is I got his co-host for his TV show.
Oh, okay.
Oh.
Who's Leanne Ward, who is actually a pretty big deal. She's really, really funny. She's had a couple specials on HBO, and she's been on Real Time with Bill Maher, and so she's a great comedian. And she'll be called Talking on the Track. She's going to do a live show, and Steve Hill is going to. I have a whole block of magic, and I have another block of comedy again this year. So it'll be kind of cool. I have a magic show with Brian Brushwood and Kurt Anderson, and they're really, really popular, well-known touring magicians, mm-hmm. and they're really good, great friends. And last year, I finally convinced both of them to do a live show separately. But at the end of the year, I said the session last year, I said I had to have you guys do like a joint show, like because a lot of people like the dual. Magician show. I mean, Penn and Teller do it, mm-hmm. stuff like that. And they're like, we don't do that. Like, neither one of them ever have done any magic show with anybody but themselves. And about 3 or 4 months ago, I got an email from both of them. They said, look, we talked about it. So we think we want to do this just to see how it goes. So it'll be the very first time they've ever done a joint show. And so it should be really cool because when they're separate, they're really cool. And I want to see what they've come up with. So it should be very, very interesting.
Do you have any panels where you're doing crossovers with any of the other tracks?
This year, I'm not really. Oh, okay. The past 5 or 6 years, I have been doing that. But this year, we ended up not doing that. I don't know why either. I didn't. it's not a conscious effort thing. It just didn't work out that way.
Okay.
I don't know why. Just every year for the past many, I've done that. But this past year, not really. We shared guests a lot, but there's no like crossover event, which I have been doing for the past few years, but not this year.
I think we're also, we all got a lot going on.
I know.
Which is yay, but it's also, aww.
I know.
Because then there's not, yeah.
I was juggling jet schedules until like last night. I'm on the edge of my seat every time I check my email because I'm worried I'm going to have another change.
Yeah. And I've had one. I know, that's why we say everything is fluid. Keep checking the app, other places, because it is fluid. I got one, just, I think like the day after it went to print, you know, and it was like, and we just printed the Pocket Program. So check the app, no matter even if you have a Pocket Program.
That's what I tell people.
Or the Daily Dragon.
Yeah. So I've had two small changes, but yet changes after the print.
Yeah, it happens.
I've had more changes this year than I have any other year since I've been a director.
Is it because of like room changes or people trying to get?
No, it's just, it's just, the big ones have been with, travel hitches.
Yeah.
Randy couldn't come in until a little bit later. He thought he was going to be here on Thursday night originally, but now he can't get in until probably Friday around.
He won't
be here until like 9 o'clock at night on Friday. It's stuff like that. There's a couple people who had to leave like late on Sunday rather than the end of the day on Monday. Some people had to like, there's one person had to like leave on Saturday morning. I'll be back on Saturday night. So
there you go.
Yeah. So it's a funny thing. So, and I can't recall that after doing this for 10 years, I think this is the first time I've really had this many changes at the last minute.
Hey, your track's getting big, man. This is what changes it all. Woo-hoo!
Hey. At least like last year, I only have one event that's not in my track room, which I like it that way.
Which one is it? Oh, sorry, John.
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask. Go ahead.
It's Magic versus Mayhem. It's the joint Magic show.
Yeah. Oh, cool.
And it's in the Crystal Ballroom only because of the format of the room. Because my track room holds about as many people as the Crystal Ballroom does. It's a long, narrow room.
Yeah.
Track room. And Crystal Ballroom is kind of wide, so it's more of a stage space. So
the Crystal Ballroom, it is very wide. There are some pillars in the middle though, which is so weird.
I know,
but it's easy to get around them though, so it's not that bad. So.
It's because the Crystal Ballroom, when we're not using it, it's actually four rooms.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, those pillars are the dividers where the walls go.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
We have many rooms that will look like that very often when you're not here for Dragon Con, when we try to make them the biggest spaces possible for them. So.
Well, speaking of rooms, where are you located? I mean, we know where you're located, but tell everybody else where you're located.
We are, Hilton, second floor. I think I'm nine rooms, 204 all the way through 207, 208. It's the entire hallway.
Mm-hmm.
If you are on the Sky Bridge between the Marriott to the Hilton, when you get to the Hilton side, just look to your right. I'm the very first door you'll see when you get out of the Sky Bridge. Mm-hmm. We're in a pretty good spot because I put up a sign, so everybody who comes from the Marriott to the Hilton, you can't miss us. So
You're right across the Sky Bridge, right near the Science and the others and all that.
Yeah, you're in the what I've been calling the real world corner, the real life corner.
Yeah, right across this hall from my track is the Science track. And EFF.
Yep.
And then
podcasting's over there too, right?
Podcasting. That's the three things are across a call from me. And the Science space track used to be right there too, but they needed more space, so they moved them.
Ironically.
Right upstate, right above me.
Because space is always above you, right?
Yeah, pretty much. it works out that way. Yeah, so we call it the reality hotel for Dragon Con.
There you go. There's a little corner of reality right over here.
The only stuff that's not is we have the LARP stuff in the Hilton and all the board gaming is downstairs.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, yeah.
And it is, and it's very cold there. Wear a jacket when you go to gaming. They try to keep it cold.
Not in your room, though, right? Your room is right up against the wall. So you guys got some warmth in there, don't you?
Well, last year we actually finally had our air conditioner working.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that's good.
Well, I mean, because I know I've sat in that room a couple of times, and it's not been horrible, but at times it can get warm in there. Yeah.
Well, every year until this past year, till last year, since we've had that room, since when, that would have been since, gosh, 2006, 2007.
It's been several years now.
Yeah. Every year, right around the end of the first day, beginning of the second day, the ceiling starts to leak, and then we lose the air conditioning.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. And the next day, the guys there fixing it and making noise all through the first half of the panels that day. And
well, and you actually kind of set up your own stage and some lighting and stuff, because you tape all of your stuff. And so those lights can get hot, as we well know.
Well, that's the nice part is, after our first couple of years when that happened, my AV guy, who owns his own production company, that's what he does. Mm-hmm. He gets hired by movie, TV, whatever. And he goes and sets everything, and he has his crew and everything. So he has his crew come, and they set everything up for me. After the first couple of days, years, when the air conditioner kept going out, he looked at me, he's like, next year I'm solving this problem for me. So what do you mean? It's like, well, because my lights are causing half the heat. Mm-hmm. So that the next year after that, he told me that he went to all LED lights.
Ah.
There
and
you go.
You can actually hold those. Like, you can hold them with keep your hand on them, mm-hmm. even though it's light as bright as any theater light you've ever seen. Mm-hmm. And there's no light, no heat at all. It's like zero heat. In fact, a few times it's actually cooler on the glass that's coming out of than it is in the room. It's crazy. And even though, still to this day, when I stand under those big bright LED lights that do not have any heat at all, I still start to wait. I still start to sweat. It's a mental thing.
It's a mental thing. I'm by these lights, therefore it must be hot.
Yeah, because it's so bright. Your brain just thinks it's got to be hot, so you start to sweat. It's like, this is annoying. I'm not even hot, but here I am sweating because I'm under a big light. It's just crazy. Yeah. Yeah, so my guy always is, in fact, I always do a little lunch with him, like right before DragonCon. We just did ours this past Friday, and he said, okay, so this is going to be my new thing this year. He always has like some new piece of tech he likes to like play with at Dragon Con as his beta test for his stuff. And so now we're going to have this, because we always have our QAs, and we have a line. We said, you know, that every line's up at the microphone. And he said, my biggest annoyance is having to teach people when they get up there, because Dragon Con, we've all seen it. Everybody from like really, really short people to really, really tall mm-hmm. people.
Yep.
And he said, having to like manually teach people how to move the microphone so you can hear them is his most annoying thing. So he has this microphone that actually now is automated.
Oh my God. It's like, so he can automate it as soon as it sees. Oh my God. That's so
like,
cool.
You're going to have to put a sign on that thing that says, do not touch this. Because.
Don't touch the toy.
I know our people at DragonCon, they're going to think, okay, I know how to do this. So they're going to try to touch it. Then the thing's going to start to move, and they're like, okay, what the hell's going on here? So,
okay, so DragonCon, you've already given us your schedule. You got a lot going on. But if you do get some time on your own, I know. But if you do, is there something you want to go see, or some fandom or something in Maine that you, I'd love to go see that. I doubt I'll get the time.
My answer might be probably one of the boring ones from other people, because there's something I would just love to do because I haven't been able to do it for over 10 years now. I just want to go to the vendor hall.
Oh, yes.
That you actually don't even get enough time to go to the vendor hall?
Oh,
well. I mean, even if you did, you wouldn't probably have enough time to go through it properly.
Oh, nice. Right.
Yeah.
I would have enough time. I figured it out last year. I almost decided to go. I had this one evening where I wanted to be in the track room to see a couple things, but I could get out.
Mm-hmm.
I thought about it. I really did. And I made it like almost to the Hilton, to the Marriott. I mean, to the Hyatt.
Yeah.
And I was like, but if I take that time, I won't have time to eat.
Oh, yeah. See, and you need to eat, too. You know, so, like, it's really funny. When people go for me, when anybody's out and, like, my husband or my son will go, and I'll be like, all right, so where's the cool things? And they'll, like, tell me. So the few minutes I can get to go over there, I go right there or right there or right there. I don't, you know, I don't get to wander like I, I don't get to wander. No, and I'd love to, I'd spend an hour in there wandering, especially now that I've gotten into comics. I'll, you know, yeah. I gotta look for Bitch Planet number two, man. So I can't find it. I missed it. So cool. All right, John, your turn now.
Now that the vending halls are so far away.
Yeah. I know, but they're so much bigger and so much area, and they do have really good maps.
I love to see them.
I do. Well, you can get there, I swear. All right, this year.
So you mentioned where you are physically at Dragon Con. How do people find out what's going on with the Skeptic Track on the interwebs or the Twitters?
Everything is Skept Track. SKEPTRACK. That's our Twitter. That's our Facebook. That's everything. If you go to skeptrack.org, I'll take you to our Dragon Con website just for Skept Track. I'll have the schedule there. And some bits and bobs about some of the speakers that are going to be there and some of the shows when they're going to be and the people who are going to be doing the shows and a little bit expanded information about them. I always tell people they've done such a good job with the mobile app. That's probably the best way to look at the schedules because, you know, we have that new longer extended descriptions now, and that actually makes a big difference.
I don't think people notice that on the app it's actually a much longer than usual one because they gave us more space on the app. So the very short description is in the Pocket program, but a very nice long one is in the app. So woo!
Yeah, and to people all the time, as nice it is to have the paper thing in your pocket and so you can write on it, that's really nice. But the online app is so nice because you can just touch on the people's names and you get their whole bio. It's the way to go these days. Is just use the mobile app, and especially have you played with the feature on the new mobile app where you can do like the Google Maps where you can say I'm here, how do I get here, and it gives you a way to get there.
I have not. No.
Yeah,
I have not. But where is that?
It's part of the mobile app. It'll actually give you a path from one place to another, so you can when you make your schedule, it'll show you how to get from place to place.
Oh man, I have no more excuses. Shoot.
Yeah.
Darn.
No, you still won't be able to find it. I've walked with you, John. I've walked with you.
Well,
you still go the longest route and get lost.
Especially if it's somewhere in the basement of the Hyatt.
Yeah. Well, yeah. See, you'll lose. You won't have it.
Yeah. The basement of the Hyatt is basically Dungeons and Dragons in real life.
Yeah. The Morlocks have a hard time getting around down there.
It's like try to find your way around. You need to get a piece of graph paper and a pencil, and you make sure you map your way. Otherwise, you're going to walk.
Just follow the right wall. Just follow the right hand side.
You might find it that way. Yeah,
just keep going. okay, so we have a game that we play with all of our guests this season, and it's basically your this or that. And I'll give you two options, and you just pick whichever one you prefer, and kind of get an idea of who you are.
Okay.
All right. So we'll start off with Beetlejuice or Frankenstein's monster.
Beetlejuice.
Twinkies or Ho-Hos?
Ooh. Ho-Hos are the chocolate ones, right?
Right, yeah.
Yeah, Ho-Hos.
Game of Thrones or Lord of the Rings?
Oh, wow, that's evil.
I know. A lot of these are.
I have to go with Games of Thrones, just based on how I feel right now.
Okay.
I have to say, you're saying John's evil? Yes. Thank you for calling him out on that. Thank you.
Yeah, because, I mean... Come on, that's not even a fair question.
Batmobile or Batwing?
Ooh, you know what? I'm going with the wing.
Okay. Here's one up your alley. Bigfoot or alien abduction?
Which one is real? I don't know.
No, just which one do you prefer?
I'll go with alien abduction because I'd rather half that be true.
Steak or salad?
No steak.
Star Wars or Star Trek?
Oh, another evil one.
I know.
You know what? I hate this question.
All right, well,
I'm going to go with Star Trek.
Okay. Pirates or Vikings?
Preach it. Preach it. See, we hate these questions. We hate these questions.
Well, what was it? Pirates and Vikings?
Pirates or Vikings?
Oh, I love pirates. I actually was involved with making a role-playing game for pirates, so they're my favorite things. Yeah, pirates.
Oh, okay. Did it ever get printed, or?
Not really.
Okay.
I bet people played it, but I don't think it ever got published.
Yeah, okay. Board games or video games?
Video games.
Science fiction or fantasy?
This sucks, too. Oh, man. Can I punt?
Yeah,
I
you can punt. That's
I
fine.
Love both
yeah,
of those.
Fine. I know. Yeah. One.
DC Comics or Marvel Comics?
Marvel.
Gandalf or Dumbledore?
Gandalf.
Bagel or English muffin? I didn't know that was going to be difficult.
See, I love myself a good egg Benedict, but then again, I love myself bagels. I'll take an egg bagel any day.
Okay. Doctor Who or Doctor Strange?
Oh, that's bad too. Doctor Who.
Monty Python or Kids in the Hall?
Monty Python.
Slytherin or Gryffindor?
Slytherin.
Whoa! I think you're the first person to answer it that way. Root beer.
Just cooler.
Root beer or ginger ale?
Root beer.
Stormtroopers or minions?
I mean, minions like from...
Yeah, the little yellow guys.
Oh, Stormtroopers.
And Millennium Falcon or Serenity?
Oh, that's completely evil.
I know.
Super evil. I'm gonna go
Welcome to John.
I'll go with Serenity.
All right, cool. So, Derek, let everyone know again where they can find you, both at Dragon Con and on the webs.
Skeptrack.org, which is, or you can go to skeptics.dragoncon.org. Both of them go to the same place. And you can find me at colinduno.com or skepticality.com. That's my show. I do the official show for Skeptic Magazine.
Yeah, how long have you been doing that for a long time, right?
Actually, I just had my 10th anniversary show at Manuel's Tavern downtown this year. So.
Yeah, I was going to say, because you guys started pretty much at the beginning of podcasting. So
yeah, we started our show before iTunes had podcasting.
Right, yeah.
Which is the funny thing is that after I woke up from my coma after I had my stroke back in 2005, it was about a week after Steve Jobs had the keynote where they did podcasting as part of the featured thing, the big thing that he announced. And when he did that, the picture of me and Swoopy, my co-host, was behind him during that. And because we were the number one podcast, because they came out with the podcasting part about a week or two before the keynote, and we were number one overall. So they had our picture behind him. And when that happened, you know, about a week or so after that, was actually right before Dragon Con, so it was all around the same time. Shortly after that, I had my stroke when I got home from a business trip. And everybody said, well, that happened because you saw Steve Jobs talk about you. It was the joke, right?
Yeah. I remember that because, you know, I've been podcasting in various different podcasts since about that same time. And I remember when you had, it was a big deal in the community.
Yeah.
And we're all thrilled and happy that you've survived that and that you're doing better. So
nobody more than myself. I can't see it.
Nothing wrong with that. There we go.
I can be selfish about that one. I guarantee you I'm happier than you are about it.
Yeah, there you go. That's a good way to put that one. Cool.
All right, Derek, it's been a pleasure talking with you. And as always, this is what I'm trying to say here. It's you know, late in the day. Just had dinner. Mouth is still trying to function. Anyway, as always, thank you for the work that you do with the Skeptics Track, and you know, in all your staff. No minion. No the volunteers. That's what we're calling them.
Yeah, whatever. We should call them minions. I think that would have been a funnier name.
Well, Lee does. Lee has no shame in calling all of them.
No, they're just minions. And they call them, wait, mine also like to call themselves minions. It's not me being mean to them. They enjoy being called minions.
So they tell you they because started, they're evil overlord.
They started it before I did.
I think my AV guy, Mark, the people that I, from my pool of volunteers, I'm about to say staff, I allow him to just, you know, boss around for me because, you know, I my room is so big that, you know, half of the work is actually the AV part because of the work that it takes to, like, make sure everything's working. And he calls a minion, so I guess that's the way to go.
Minion alert.
Well, please thank your volunteer minions for us. We really appreciate the work that they do. And, you know, all the directors, of course, at Dragon Con and the volunteers at Dragon Con. Otherwise, hey, there'd be no show. So
that's true.
So,
that is true.
So until next time, this is John for Derek and Lee saying peace.
Hey, are you talking for me?
Yeah.
Wow. I didn't know this was part of the deal.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.
This has been a production of The Unique Geek. To leave a comment or suggestion, call us at 813-3210-TUG or email us at thegeeks@theuniquegeek.com. Follow The Geeks on Twitter @TheUniqueGeek. Visit our listserv at listserv.theuniquegeek.com. This podcast is distributed under a Creative Commons share alike non-commercial license.